If you can't hear me, just raise your hand. I have one more section. For those that weren't able to be here this morning, I'll just recap what we went over with God's help. We had talked about the crowns and the rewards as different than being gifts from God. We have, number one, the runner's crown. We spoke about that. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. When the Lord Jesus Christ raptures us, takes us home to be with himself in heaven, there's going to be a thing called the marriage supper of the Lamb, but it seems that there will be something before that, and we will appear at the judgment seat of Christ. There are two judgment seats, one for the unsaved, that comes 1,007 years at least, between the two judgment seats. The judgment seat for the Christian, when he's raptured and stands before the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to give us personally, eyeball to eyeball. Think about that now. You're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to be in a crowd, and you can't hide behind anyone. You're going to see him. It's just going to be you and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to be looking at you right in your eye, and you're going to be looking at him. I think you'll have to be forced to look at him in the eye, just like me, because he is glorious. If you read John's account of his impression of the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of the Revelation in the very beginning, he fell at his feet as dead, but he was forced to look at the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is a wonderful Lord. He's our Lord and Savior, but my, he is glorious, and we must look at him. And he, in love, will be looking at us, and he will give us rewards. The Bible says, every man shall have praise from God. So while it won't be a Sunday school picnic, I don't think, it'll be a time of rejoicing, because as it says in the Bible, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. So if you are saved, when you see the Lord Jesus Christ in glory, it'll be an awesome sight for us all. But he has rewards. He says, I am coming, and my reward is with me. Now, a reward is different than a gift. I know the children are all happy to get gifts at Christmas, the same way I am. And so, it's a gift is something that you get for free. Salvation is a free gift. You don't have to send in box tops and money and get the thing back in the mail. Oh, no. The Lord Jesus Christ has given himself. God has given him. And it's the most precious gift is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But rewards are different. A reward is something you get for doing something. So the Lord Jesus Christ has rewards, and he has promised to reward every one of his children, every one of his brethren, he calls us, really. And he has those things. So we have a runner's crown. That was the first one we mentioned. There were five crowns that I can see in the Bible. We have the watcher's crown for those that love his appearing. The runner's crown was for those that have run the race, like the Apostle Paul. I have fought the good fight. He ran the good race. And number three, we have the soul winner's crown for those who have a desire to win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. It may be a gospel tract that you've passed out. It may be something you've said to one of your friends, people at school, even acquaintances, even perfect strangers. If you have a chance to tell how to get saved, tell about the Lord Jesus Christ to rescue a poor sinner from hell. That's how we got saved, because somebody cared about us and we found out the gospel. It might have been mom and dad. It might have been a friend at school. In my case, it was somebody that I was in the Air Force with in Michigan. That's where I was saved. And he was a backslidden Christian, believe it or not. And I found out from him that there was a way of salvation. He was a backslider. But he told me I was going to hell because I was being a real jerk at the time. And so he didn't like it, the way I was behaving, and he told me faithfully the truth. He says, "You're going to hell, you know." And I found out that I knew that before he ever told me, but I looked in the scriptures. He was kind enough not to leave me like that. He pointed out the scriptures, and I realized it, and I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm saved. I was 22 years old, and it was a wonderful day. He was a soul winner without even trying to be, but he didn't mean to win my soul. He meant to get me, and he got me. So I'm saved. He's a friend to this day. I haven't seen him in 20 years, but I call him on the phone, and he calls me once in a while from out in California. That's where he's from. And we have the sufferer's crown, number 4. The sufferer's crown. For those who suffer tribulation, temptation, trials, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now suppose you are suffering for Christ. It might be a different thing, you know. You don't have to die. There are all kinds of ways to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. I know a man who got fired because he wouldn't go a certain place with the rest of his company. They were having a conference in a very bad place. And he said, "I cannot in good faith go to this conference." And his boss told him, "We're a team here, mister. You're fired." And he had children. And it cost him something for the Lord Jesus Christ. It didn't cost him his life, but it cost him his job. But you know what God did? God rewarded him right on the spot, because it was God's way of pushing him into full-time service for the Lord. And I know other men who had similar situations. It's the sufferer's crown. That man's going to get a crown. Now let me tell you something about rewards too that I didn't mention this morning. You will not lose your reward. Now, if you get away from the Lord, you're going to lose that possible opportunity. In the time that you were away from the Lord, you can't earn a reward. If you're away from the Lord, no reward. Remember that. Here we got rhymes. But I have a scripture. Actually, I have more than one, but I'll give you one. Suppose you go along well for the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you slip into sin. You fall into sin, and you're into sin for some time. And that's a terrible thing, it's true. But you've earned all of these rewards, and you go into sin, and you're not gaining any reward there. Does God take away the rewards that you've already earned? That's how you get your rewards. You earn them, you know. It's not a gift. You earn them either by behavior or for service or for doing something. The Lord Jesus Christ said, you don't lose them. Mm-hmm. It says in the judgment seat, you shall suffer loss. But it's the same kind of loss you lose as you lose a day's pay if you don't go into work. If you don't go into work, you don't get paid for that day. And we call it losing a day's pay. That's the same sense that is in the judgment seat of Christ as far as loss is concerned. He shall be saved, yet so as by fire. He shall lose that time frame where he could have had the rewards and earned the rewards. The rewards you've already earned, you don't lose. And here's a verse. The Lord Jesus said, a cup of cold water given in my name shall not lose his reward. Isn't that encouraging? We all sin. We all get away from the Lord. But that doesn't mean God just says, okay, all those rewards you've earned, forget them. Oh, no. No, you get those rewards because Christ said so. Whosoever giveth a cup of cold water in my name shall not lose his reward. And that's just a cup of cold water. So don't be discouraged about your rewards Or perhaps you might be thinking, I won't get the rewards that I've already earned. That's not in the Bible. So, moving on to the last one, we have the shepherd's crown. We have the runner's crown, the watcher's crown, the soul winner's crown, the sufferer's crown. And at last, we have the shepherd's crown. And that is in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. And I'm going to try to be brief. I would love somebody else to come up and have a chance at giving us God's word. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. And it's Peter the apostle this time. We heard a lot from the apostle Paul this morning. But the apostle Peter this time is talking about a reward. And he says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now that's a wonderful thing, a crown of glory. You know what makes it wonderful? Because it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes it wonderful. Everything that he gives us is wonderful. There's nothing that he gives us that isn't wonderful. It's all wonderful if he gives it to us. That's what makes it special. I could receive an anonymous gift, and I have, and I thought it was wonderful. But I didn't know who sent it. But I know, yes, I do know who sent it. I didn't know who brought it. Let's put it that way. An old lady was praying for her groceries, and an unsaved man heard her praying because she was praying loud. Maybe she was Pentecostal, I don't know. But she was praying loud, and he was a wise guy. There's a big difference between a wise man and a wise guy. Now, he was out there listening. He would listen. He was not a believer at the time. He became a believer later. That's how the story got known. She would pray for her grocery. She was a widow, no family at all by herself. She's praying for a widow for groceries. He heard her. And he says, I'll play a trick on her. He went out and he bought a nice bag of groceries and he put it at her doorstep. He rang the bell and he ran around to her prayer room outside the window. She picked up the groceries. He brought it in the house. She went right into her prayer room and she's praying out loud again so he could hear it. Oh, Lord, thank you for the groceries. I know you sent it. Even if the devil brought it, you sent it. That spoke to him. And I understand that was involved in his conversion. She had an unshakable faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what God has here for us, rewards for that faith. His greatest reward is the Lord himself. We're enjoying that right now. But it says here that there's a crown of glory that fadeth not away. It's a glorious crown because the Lord Jesus Christ sends it, gives it to us. And what will we do with that crown? We read it this morning. We will put that crown at his feet. The 24 elders in the book of the Revelation, they were able to give something back to God. Now, you wouldn't want to go and meet the Lord empty-handed, would you? Of course not. You'd love to give him something. And all that we can give him is what he gave us. But once he gives it to us, it belongs to us. Once you have something that you've been given, that's yours. Now it's up to you to do something with it. And the best thing you can do for the Lord Jesus Christ is to give that crown of glory and lay at his feet. Put it at his feet. And that's what he wants. What he really wants is you. We spoke about that this morning, where God says, give me your heart. I know two boys. One was a punky teenager, He was always getting in trouble. And he gave his mother on Mother's Day. He went out and spent money, a lot of money. He put the flowers on the table, nice card. And that was the last he saw of his mother on Mother's Day. But his little brother went out and made a Valentine, not a Valentine, a Mother's Day card. And he picked flowers from out in the yard. They weren't really fancy, but he stayed around till his mother got up. His mother was already up, but she was up and about. And so when he saw his mother on Mother's Day, he says, "Mom, I love you." Which one of those two boys, that's a true story, by the way, too. I don't tell untrue stories. That's a true story. Which one of those two boys do you think touched the mother's heart? The little one or the big one? It's the little one. Simply because he gave his mother his love, his heart. And we give our crowns to the Lord Jesus because that's what we're going to do with them. That's what he wants. We give it to him because we love him. He gave himself to us because he loved us. We love him because he first loved us. Now the shepherd's crown here is all based upon love for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And he says, "Love one another even as I have loved you." Do you know that every assembly has shepherds? Those are pastors, it's the same word, or bishop or elders, same thing, same calling. But what I want to get to here, you can be a good shepherd, whether you're male or female, whether you're young or old. You can do the work of a shepherd, and you will get a shepherd's reward. Timothy, Timothy, the understudy, the apprentice, if you will, the one that the Apostle Paul wrote to, and we have the letters of Timothy, was told, do the work of an evangelist. Sometimes I'm forced to do the work of an auto mechanic, many other things that I'm really not, but I do the work. You can do the work of a shepherd simply by caring as a shepherd would care for the flock, if you will care for the flock. That means caring for other Christians, thinking about them, praying for them, doing things for them, caring for them, loving them. You will get a shepherd's crown. It's not just for those whom God has raised up as elders. I don't believe that. Some may differ with me, and that's all right. But God, remember, is not stingy. He loves to bless and he loves to give. And I believe with all my heart that every one of us can win every one of these crowns. The Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his word. And I hope you please come up. There's 10 more minutes. Thank you.
scriptures. But maybe just to comment on the opening verse that a brother brought forth in Revelation. It says, round about the throne were 24 seats. Upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had in their heads crowns of gold. And that other verse in Revelation 4, verse 10, the 24 elders fall, but down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne. And I just wanted to point out the fact that in the first three chapters we see letters to the church. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we see the rapture of the church, and I believe that the church is raptured at this point in Revelation, and this is the church here in chapter 4, and God is not dealing with the Jews at this time. But if you turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 24, we see a distinction here, I think, between the Old and the New Testament, and yet there's a similarity also. It says in chapter 24, 1 Chronicles, now, these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu died before their father and had no children. And therefore Eleazar and Ithamar executed the priest's office, and David distributed them, both Zadok and the sons of Eleazar and Abimelech of the sons of Ithamar, according to their offices in their service. And there were more chief men found of the sons of Eleazar than of the sons of Ithamar. And thus were they divided. Among the sons of Eleazar there were 16 chief men of the house of their fathers, and 8 among the sons of Ithamar, according to the house of their fathers. And so between the sons of Eleazar and Ithamar, we see a total of 24 priests. And this followed through in the Old Testament, the number of priests being 24. Verse 19, these were the orderings of them in their service to come in the house of the Lord, according to their manner under Aaron their father, as the Lord God of Israel had commanded them. And so we see that this order, this 24, was an order of priests in the Old Testament. And then if you follow that through, where it talks about in 1 Peter chapter 5, the priesthood of all believers. And so as priests unto God, every man, woman, and child that is a believer is a priest unto God. And I believe that the order follows through here, symbolically saying that when these priests are, the 24 elders are bowing down before the Lord, I believe that's the priesthood of all believers, symbolically in the number of 24. And so that's where Mike, I believe, started off with the idea that as believers in Christ, we're all just on the fact and the basis that we're believer priests. You know, we didn't have to earn it. We didn't have to work for it. It's something that we are. And we're all priests before God. You know, whether we're in service here or outside the church, royal priests. What is that? Let me just recount that in 1 Peter chapter 5, I believe it is. Or am I wrong? Maybe 2 Peter, huh? It's, no, 1 Peter 3. No. Priesthood, brother. I'm all confused here, huh?
1 Peter chapter 3, isn't it?
That's what I thought. Okay. I'm having a senior moment here. 2. Chapter 2. Sorry about that. I had in my head it was chapter 3, but I was wrong. And chapter 2 of 1 Peter. Ye are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 5, holy priesthood. That's the, when we're saved, all priests are holy priests, first of all. Notice it mentions the holy priesthood first. That we, what? It says that we offer up spiritual sacrifices. Spiritual sacrifices, those things that are spiritual. They have nothing to do with the flesh. They're not carnal. They have to do with offering something to God that is acceptable. And so when we come, and this is a concept by which was something the early church knew of the spiritual sacrifice. I believe praise is a spiritual sacrifice. I believe when we get up in the morning, whether male or female, inaudibly say, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul," is a spiritual sacrifice unto God. Anything you do in this morning meeting as we gather together and breaking bread, those who are saved have an obligation to God as a holy priest. No one can say that I don't have a job to do, or you know, I'm not a male, so therefore I can't get up and say something. It's your obligation as a priest, female or male, to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. You know, there's nothing more that God loves than when his people brag about his son. They don't want to hear about you. And I've been in meetings where people have talked about how wonderful the Lord has been to them throughout the week. That's the blessings of the Lord to you for the week. But when you come as a holy priest, it says to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God. That's where the church, I believe as a whole, has gotten off track, because what is offered today, I don't believe a whole lot of it is acceptable before God. Much of it has to do with emotions and feelings and make me feel good. You might not feel like worshiping the Lord. But as a holy priest, just saying thank you is enough for God, because that's an acceptable sacrifice that you can do for him. And that's what we should be doing for somebody who did so much for you and I, for dying on the cross, giving heaven's best for earth's worst. And believe me, you know, when they take the songs that we sing and they twist them around where it talks about such a worm as I and turn it into such a one as I, adds a different meaning, doesn't it? Because it takes out the fact that we're not worms, that we're not nothing, and puts in its place that we were okay, sort of. Not really. God looks at sinners, and he loves sinners. And he's done everything he could to save us by giving us a son. And those who by faith receive Jesus Christ now become sons of God. That's where the worth and value is in his son. Not in man. We're sinners saved by grace. That's enough for me. You know? But if verse 9 it says, "Then you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." Again, Revelation chapter 4. We're looking at the 24 elders that are before the throne, kneeling before the throne, giving their crowns to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we see the royal priesthood a holy nation, a peculiar people, what? Showing forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Showing forth. What are you showing forth as a royal priest? You leave this door, you are an ambassador for Christ, you are a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you represent him as such? Are you that royal priest as you, in the world, or does the world look at us and say, you're no different than you and I? Then we have not done our job as a royal priest, because it says we are a peculiar people. People look at us and say, you know, you're just a strange guy, you know. I mean, how can you believe what you believe in? And there we have opportunity, because we're royal priests. We don't have to slink when somebody corners us and starts blasting us. You can stand before him as that royal, honorable priest and defend the name of the Lord Jesus Christ rather than slinking away. You know, yeah, they can kill the body, can't they? But that's okay. For the sake of Christ as a royal priest, that you should show forth the praises of him. I hope that's what we do in our obligation as royal priests from a daily basis as we walk from this place into the world, showing forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Shall we close in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words from the Bible, your holy word. We thank you, Father, that you have given us the message of salvation, that those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be and can be saved. We thank you, Father, that you have sent your Son, and he has saved us by grace through faith and has called us out of darkness into that marvelous light. We thank you for the message concerning the rewards that none of us deserve, and yet because of your love and your kindness and faithfulness to us, that there will be a reward waiting for us so that we can bow before thee and cast them at your feet, honoring you and praising you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.